have a phrase, I guess you would say, that we're going to try to explore a little bit with the help of the Lord. I'd like to try to introduce it this morning, and I'd like for us to y'all be praying that the Lord will help us know how to develop it, should it go on beyond today's service. But write a couple words up here. So I'd like to start talking today about something that we'll call fuzzy logic. So I told you Wednesday night about my experience of losing just one of the lenses in my glasses, and how that when I put on my glasses, I didn't realize that one of them was missing, and I stepped out the back door to go to work, and I thought something was wrong with my eyes. Well, there was something wrong. But when I looked out across the backyard and out in the pasture, it's like, it just don't look right. You know, it's like I had sleep in my eyes or something, and I kind of took my glasses off and rubbed my eyes and put them back on and looked, and yep, I've got the right glasses on. I can tell by feeling of the earpieces up here. And it just, neither one of my eyes seemed to work. I don't know if you've ever lost one lens or not before, but it just didn't seem to work right. So I ended up putting my finger up there and realized that one lens was gone because I kind of almost poked myself in the eye. But everything was not in focus. It was just kind of fuzzy. And I realized I don't want to go to work like this. So I went back in and just laid those down, and I have reading glasses. I can see well enough to drive. Distance vision is not my problem. It's the up-close stuff. So I was able to drive safely to work and use my reading glasses through. I made it, and the Lord helped us to find the lens that had fell out, and we got it put back in. So I'm back up to speed today. In that respect, I just want us to think about this subject called fuzzy logic. I looked it up. There's multiple definitions that we could find, and some of it is connected to software development and computer controls. It's a term that's been around a long time as far as computers go, and it's something that is used, I know this will be real assuring to us all, but it's been something that's kind of a backbone of the development of artificial intelligence. Y'all have heard that term too, haven't you? It's the thing that the computer world that we live in uses to predict by the choices that we make whether we are a man, a woman, what our ages are, what our ethnicity is, and all of that. It jumps to conclusions with artificial intelligence, and one of the fundamental factors in all of that is fuzzy logic. So I'd like to read a definition that I have here, and Lord help us to be able to apply some things that we can glean from this to help us in our spiritual walk. Fuzzy logic is based on observation that people make decisions based on imprecise or not precise and non-numerical information. Fuzzy models or sets are mathematical means of representing vagueness and imprecise. That means not precise or not close tolerance or anything like that. Information, hence the term fuzzy. Like my vision was fuzzy. It wasn't really sharp. I could tell that there were what I thought looked like cows and what looked like trees out my back door, but it was not, they didn't look really sharp. The image was not real distinct to me. These models have the capability of recognizing and representing, manipulating, interpreting, and using data and information that are vague and lack certainty. Now, how comfortable does that make us all? There's a lot of words that I just read to you that seem to feel like or seem to infer that nothing is accurate anymore. I remember hearing a story about a man that was framing a house, and he was running the saw. It was his house. And he was down cutting lumber to the dimensions that the framers were asking him for. And I don't know if they were cutting rafters or floor joists or I don't know what they were cutting at the time. But they was hollering down measurements. They were like the second story or something. Give me 92 and 5/8 or something like that. And after a while, he said, don't give me any inch, any dimension less than a half inch, I think it was. He was not wanting to be very precise. He said, you know, you round it one way or the other, don't give me anything less than a half inch. I don't know if he just wasn't wanting to read his tape measure. There are many times in life that we're presented with situations that it looks like there needed to be a little more attention to detail. So I'm trying to impress on us the concept of being fuzzy here. And there's something they call fuzzy logic. The first sentence I read is that it's based on the observation that people make decisions based on imprecise and non-numerical information. So what does that sound like? To me, it sounds like we make decisions, people make decisions many times, maybe not on what is accurate or precise, but on their feelings. Is that very stable, you think? It's pretty fuzzy, isn't it? Because I don't know what you're feeling like this morning. Maybe you're feeling on top of the mountain and all encouraged and enthused, but it's fall time. It was kind of drizzly wet, which I'm thankful for last night. Would like to have some more rain, but maybe you're kind of melancholy today. And if you're kind of melancholy, then the chances of you making a positive choice about being enthused about maybe the garden you're going to plant in the spring or something like that is probably not very good. If we went around the room here today and said, what kind of tomatoes are you going to plant next spring? You might say, I don't know. We'll wait till spring gets here. It's because you're just kind of fuzzy right now. Why would I be thinking about spring? We got snow ahead of us. You know, we got winter coming on. I need to be worried about, do I have things in place to keep my house warm? Who cares about planting tomatoes right now? And it's all about our emotions right now. It's kind of fuzzy. I think about the thermostat. We have a thermostat. It's programmed to come on before we get here so that the building is comfortable. But I venture to say that no matter what temperature it is, sometimes you can go back there and look at that. I know this for a fact. This is not fuzzy. You can go back there and look at the thermostat, and the number is the same every Sunday. And sometimes you come in and you feel too warm. And sometimes you come in and you feel too cool. And a lot of that has to do with our surroundings. It's not numerical. Our body temperature is within probably a tenth of a degree all the time, unless we're sick. But if we've had a little bit more activity and our body temperature is elevated 0.05 degrees, we feel hot. And we want it to go down a little more. And we will go change the thermostat sometimes 2 or 3 degrees. And if it gets there, cooling it down in the summer, then we're cold. And it's like, what is your tolerance? It's fuzzy, you see. There are many times things impact us that it's not really per se numerically logical, all right? So I want us to consider now, we not only make decisions about tomatoes we're going to plant or wood we're going to get cut and stacked to heat our house or hay that you need to buy to feed your animals or where you're going to set the thermostat, but we make decisions about our spiritual man, don't we? And we make decisions about eternal destiny. And sometimes we make decisions that impact eternal destiny of our soul and those that are impacted by our lives, and yet we do it from a standpoint of fuzzy logic, I'm afraid. And that's what I want us to be cautioned about. And I want us to consider how I'm making my choices. Am I being too fuzzy? Am I being because I just sprinted from the car? I'm not interested in sprinting at my age, but if I did, and I jumped out of my car and sprinted to the door of the chapel and come in here, I promise that the thermostat would feel a little warm. The temperature would feel a little warm. I would want it to be a little cool. If I've been setting, I've done this recently, get in my recliner, I'm comfortable. And I got my shoes and socks off, and at the end of the day, and I've kicked back in my recliner, and I kind of doze up, and guess what? I wake up and my feet's cold. Why are they cold? It's the same temperature as it was when I dozed off in the recliner. It's because I've been sitting still and not doing anything. But the fuzziness is, I feel cooler now. There's just this sensation. And many times we allow sensations, I feel kind of melancholy, so I'm not so enthused, and so I don't apply myself. I don't want to try to make machinery out of our brains, but I want us to think about how important it is to not get sucked in to making bad choices when our logic is really kind of fuzzy. It's not sharp and it's not keen. So I'd like for us to look at some verses. Let's go to 2 Timothy, the second chapter. The Apostle Paul, writing here to Timothy, a young man. And one thing that we might clarify or try to make as distinct as possible is many times our emotions are more apt to fluctuate. And our desires and our goals and our objectives and all of that are much more apt to fluctuate when we're young. The older we get, the more stable we are. That's a positive way to look at it. And the world around us might say you're just stuck in your ways. All right? But as we get older, we're less impacted by the trends, the fashions, the things that's going on around us. And it really doesn't matter if striped overalls are out of style or not. You're going to still wear the pair that you've had for 20 years. If you want to go outside in them, you do. It doesn't really bother you. But if you're 19 or 17, you might not do that because you're afraid somebody might see you. All right? So let's look. And Paul is writing to a younger person. He's more apt to have fluctuating emotions. Would you agree? Paul is writing to him as a more experienced person in life. He's also a much more educated man than probably any of the other apostles. He had book learning, if you want to call it that. He probably spoke more than one language and actually could read it and write it. He probably spoke and wrote Greek and Hebrew. Maybe another language, I don't know. But here we find him talking to Timothy, and he says in verse 1, chapter 2, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So he says, my son, you that are younger, you that are more susceptible to fuzzy logic, if you will, for today's discussion, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I want you to become established and to be grounded and be able not only to do that, he says, in the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. Pass this on. Commit it to them. If I commit something to your keeping, I'm trusting you to keep it secure, to protect it, to keep it from being lost if I commit it to your keeping. He says, commit this gospel, this grace, this understanding of who Christ is and what he came to do for mankind, commit that to faithful men. People that are not going to allow the fuzziness of their emotions and their setting on that particular day, whether they've sprinted or whether they've been sitting in their recliner, to deter them from keeping on course. All right? He says, commit it to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We know that soldiers are depicted as someone that have a lot of discipline in their life. You go to boot camp for a reason. You learn when to get up and at what command to get up. You know how to not only get up, but you don't set, I don't mean to pick on anybody, but you don't set 5 alarms to get up. When they sound the signal for you to get up, that means you jump up right then. You have a very limited, prescribed amount of time to dress, prepare for the day, and make your bed. And your bed has to be made to a certain specification before, or you don't pass. You get to do it again, or I don't know, do 100 push-ups or something. I don't know all that. I wasn't in the military. But they learn. There's something when you use the word soldier that kind of excludes emotion. Discipline takes the place of emotion. It doesn't matter if it's been raining all night and it feels good to lay in bed. When the sergeant blows the whistle, that means get up right then. Not in 5 minutes when you kind of stretch and yawn a little bit, but right then, get up. There's something about being a soldier that says, fuzziness is out of the picture. I know in this circumstance, this is how I'm supposed to react. I'm not going to deviate from my training because it's been ingrained in me to perform in a certain manner. So that's what comes to my mind when I'm reading this. And he says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier, one that doesn't allow emotions, doesn't allow circumstances to deter them from their purpose. He says, no man that warreth entertaineth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If a man also strive for masteries, yet he is nothing, he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. He's not really achieved it unless he does it in the proper manner. You've all heard, probably, of someone because of whose family they belong to, they was able to get jobs at a place that they wouldn't have got on their own merits. You ever heard that? Well, he knew someone down there at whatever, and that's how he got on, or that's how they earned their position. That's how that he was, he, she, they were put into a place of authority. They were promoted to supervisor because they knew the boss. I don't know. It's kind of fuzzy, isn't it? Well, did he really earn that? Should he be in that place? I don't know. That's maybe time for another discussion on another subject. But the point I want to try to make here is if you're striving for masteries, if your objective is to gain a place of authority in God's kingdom, and I'm not talking about authority over over people, I'm talking about authority with God, then it's, you're not going to be crowned, you're not going to gain that unless you strive lawfully. There's nothing fuzzy about this. You have to apply yourself all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Isn't that what the commandment is? You have to lay aside everything that's not like the Lord. There's not, I knew the preacher, so they put me in as assistant pastor. No, that's not the way it's supposed to work at all. We want to be able to prove nothing emotional about this. It needs to be substantiated, if I can make up that word and use it this morning. All right? He says in verse 6, the husbandman that laboreth must first be partaker of the fruits. Kind of going along with our other illustration here. The husbandman, the one that is the overseer, must be the one that's partaking of it. It must be a participant. I remember going to a class one time, and the fella was, we were problem solving a particular area on a vehicle, and the instructor at the time had bugged the car, put a, I don't remember now exactly what the bug was, it seemed like it was a fault in the wiring harness or something like that, and they had put it in there, and we were going to problem solve. So we were going through the steps and unhooking here and checking our electrical circuits, and we got down to the point that it said, well, you know, your problem is here. And so I asked a question. So I said, how do we know that? We never checked this part over here. And they said, well, this connector you took apart over here, the real crux of the matter was he had called something a bulkhead connector when it wasn't the bulkhead connector. He said, this is the bulkhead connector. And so that told you that the problem was on, you know, anyway, they were, I said, I don't mean to be contentious, but I said, we're fixing cars in the field. I mean, real stuff, not somebody sabotaged it. I said, this is not going to work. I said, the bulkhead connector is the one over here, not that one. And he said, well, from now on, this is the bulkhead connector. I said, you know, I got to the place, it was like, it was fuzzy. It's not right. It's not, if somebody is going to make the wrong call and put the wrong part on a car because this is fuzzy. So I just had, I took a risk. I knew he could have told me, you need to go home. I don't need you in this class. I said, look, I just want us to be clear. If we call that the bulkhead connector, not all vehicles have it. It's got to be this one over here. They all have this one. And anyway, we got it sorted out. But the deal is, it says this man had never been a partaker of the fruit. He never actually worked in the field. He was a teacher. He got to be a teacher because he'd been something else before that. And it's important for us to be a partaker, to have the experience ourselves. All right? Not fuzzy. Not something. And when it comes up to the time that something comes under question, Lord, help us to be able to back up and say, I'm willing to be examined. I don't want it to be fuzzy. I don't want it to be gray. I don't want it to be something that is, could lead myself or someone else astray. We're talking about eternal things here. Have you ever heard of a color called light black? You ever heard that? Well, I hadn't either. And we were, black is black, right? So I got into discussion with somebody. Again, this is one of those areas that it's like, well, you're really getting fuzzy on me. I didn't use that term, but for today's discussion, it got to be confusing. It's like, what do you mean, light black? So he's talking about the color of a particular vehicle that was, I would call it charcoal. It was a dark gray color. Now, if I said, what shade of gray? You might use terms like light gray or dark gray, or you might use a descriptive term to define gray, right? But if I said, let's paint your car or your house or whatever it is, let's paint it light black. Would that be very clear to you? It's pretty fuzzy, isn't it? Now, we all know that there's different inflections on white, right? But really, pure white is just white. It's got all the colors. White light has all of the colors in it. We know that from science. That teaches us that. Unless that's changed. So we want to be careful that we don't cause something to be fuzzy that shouldn't be fuzzy. Now, if I said, just paint the house gray, and you say, well, what shade of gray do you want? But if I said, paint the house black, you got any questions? No, you just paint it black. There's not... maybe you might ask if you want metal flake in it or not, but it's black is black. It's not fuzzy. That's the thing. That's the point I want us to get a hold of. All right. So he says here, verse 7, in 2nd chapter of Timothy, 2nd Timothy, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding. in all things. Think about it. Don't just be swayed by your emotions. You know, I would venture that we could walk back there to thermostat, and it's the same temperature today as it was last Sunday. Look at her. Your fingers feel a little cool this morning? Some of you might say, yeah, my hands feel a little cool. Why is that? There's something else besides, we've been impacted by our surroundings. So 71 degrees or 73 degrees or whatever it is back there is not warm enough today. There's a little fuzziness there. Okay? He says, remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer. even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It's a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Is this something that's fuzzy in your mind? What's he talking about? Let's go to Galatians, the fifth chapter. We're going to come right back here. But we'll go to Galatians, the fifth chapter. And notice what he says in verse 24. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24, he says, and they that are Christ have crucified the what? The flesh with the affections and the lust. So when he says over here in Timothy, when he says, it's a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Is that fuzzy or is that clear? What's he talking about? He's talking about if we are saved, if we are really living for the Lord, we're going to crucify the flesh with the affections and the lust. Now, what happens when you crucify something? It dies. All right? It's just like the color black is not fuzzy. Well, if you crucify something, the result is it's dead. So he says, if you're Christ, this is what he told the Galatians, then you're going to put to death the affections and the lust of the flesh. So he told Timothy, wasn't being fuzzy at all. He's being real clear. He said, it's a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we be dead to the affections and the lust of the flesh, we'll be alive with Christ. That's the change that happens when we come to the Lord to be saved. He says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. He used that other Paul is reasoning with them very logically, not any fuzziness here. He's using the same illustration. If we've crucified the flesh with the lust and the affections of it, then we're alive with Christ. But they use that same parallel, and if we suffer with him, we'll also reign with him. If we suffer struggling with temptations, maybe. If we suffer from persecution, you mean you're not going to do that? That could be persecution sometime. We'll reign with him. Where are we going to reign? In this life and through eternity. All right? If we deny him, still using this same very clear, distinct understanding, if we deny him, he's going to deny us. It's clear. It's not fuzzy. All right? He says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. He will not deny his person, what he came to do, what he came to help us overcome. He's never going to say, well, you know, I didn't really mean it like that. He meant to give us power over sin. He meant to do that. He meant to change us from death to life, just like the song that we sing. He meant to do that. It's not fuzzy. He didn't mean for us to be impacted by our emotions to the point that we can't get a clear understanding. He meant to make us a new creature. Old things are all passed away. He meant to do that. Of these things, verse 14, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. What's that verse talking about? You ever heard arguing? You know what I'm talking about? You know what it means to argue? Well, I don't think it happened like that. I don't think they meant that. Well, what I heard was, well, I think they said, and how clear is all of that? Usually it gets fuzzy real quick, don't it? Usually it becomes a very confusing situation. He said, of these things, put them in remembrance. Of what things? The clearness of the purpose of the gospel. He came to change you. The clearness of, if you will, by the grace of God and the help of God, crucify the flesh with the affections and the lust thereof, you won't just be a dead thing, you'll be alive with Him. Old things will become new. The old man is cast away and all things become new. It should be clear and distinct, not fuzzy. He said, of these things, put them in remembrance. Tell everybody you're preaching to about it. How it changes lives. It really makes a difference. It's not that you just become a member of something that it feels good to be a member of. Well, it feels good to be a member of Christianity as long as everything's going good, right? But there's times things don't go good. There's times when things go bad, really bad. It doesn't mean that God don't love us anymore. It just means there's some trouble on our horizon. And the logic that's not fuzzy is He'll see us through. He'll see us through to the other side. Jesus suffered. Means that more than likely we're going to have a chance at it. So he said, put people that you talk to in remembrance of how distinct this change is, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit or fuzzy things, to the subverting of the hearers. Study, he says, to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Have you ever really studied something wanting to understand? So there's times in my life, I want it to be clear this morning, but I want us to understand how easy we can become fuzzy. All right? So I'm going to take a real situation. Many times it'll say in our, we're going to put a heater core. Everybody know what a heater core is? It's the thing that makes you get warm air on your feet in the wintertime. And a lot of times putting a heater core in is a pretty invasive procedure. A lot of the newer cars, you've got to pull the dash completely out of it. So it'll say something like this at the top of our instructions. Well, you can't read that. That's fuzzy. It'll say heater core replacement. And down below it, it'll have some dots like this. You probably can't see those dots. Maybe you can see those. And it'll have things that we skip over many times. And down below it, it'll have a picture. And it'll show a part down here. And it'll say, remove XYZ. It removes so many pieces here and put the parts in. And then it says, reverse removal. So we look at it and say, oh, that's pretty easy. You just take that box and you pull this cover off and you put your heater core in and then you just put it all back together. But we didn't read this up here. This says remove instrument panel. And then if you go to that section, that means take the whole dash out. And then when you go in there and removing the instrument panel down below it, it says remove the center console. And if we're not real careful, below it, it'll say, remove the front seats to get the center console out. And we thought we had a 15-minute job down here. And it's all because we didn't carefully read the instructions. And what ends up happening is the thing we, in our head, it looked like, oh, a couple hours, we'll be done with this. What it boils down to is we're going to work on this all day and maybe tomorrow too. And it's because we allowed ourselves to get fuzzy. And really where we need to start is take the front seats out, then the console out, then the dash out, and then discharge the AC system, and then pull the... I'm being tedious. But I want us, he says here, study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of God. Isn't that what it said? Rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, it's true that God loves every soul. But if you read the fine print, if you read the bullet points, he says there's some things you can't do and come to heaven. There's some things I won't let come in my place. It's too holy there. I won't let sin come in. Does he love you? Yes, he does. Does he love everybody that's out there? I believe he does. I believe there's an opportunity. The gospel is a gospel of opportunity for every person on this planet could be saved. I believe that. I believe the scripture supports that. But he doesn't mean that you got a free ticket to heaven if you overlook the bullet points that says sin can never enter there. I'm paraphrasing. Lord, help us to not be drawn in to fuzzy emotions. You know, I'll tell you one more story, and I'm going to quit for this morning. Many years ago, my brother and I were pretty young. I don't remember our ages, but we were probably middle school at oldest. And we went, when we would go to bed at night, it seemed like we were sleeping in the same bedroom at the time. And when the house got real quiet, we could hear a kitten meowing. You know what that sounds like. And it's like, we don't have a kitten. Maybe we might have had a full-grown cat at the time. I don't remember, but we didn't have a kitten. But this is obviously a little kitten crying because it's hungry, wants its mama. Well, I must be dreaming, you know. Next morning, the hubbub of the house, you don't hear it. You go to bed at night, you hear this little kitten meowing. And we get to sneaking around, and then it would quit, and then it would meow, and then it would quit. And we got to moving around real slowly. If we made any kind of noise, it would quit. And we realized it was coming out of the wall of our bedroom, up above the window. And we're trying to figure out, how does this cat sound coming from up there? Well, we done a little bit more exploring. Now, how many of us like a little kitten? It's pretty hard not to like a little kitten. A little calico kitten or a tiger stripe kitten that's, you know, just got its eyes open and is looking healthy and plump and all. It's hard not to like a little kitten. We finally realized that the mother cat would jump up on the windowsill and then up on the awning that was over the window of our bedroom and went up through a hole that she had found in the soffit of the house. And she went up in the attic and she had found a place in the top of the wall up there and made a little bed and had her kittens up there. So my brother and I decided we're going to get those kittens out because we like little kittens. And we got up there, and when we found out where they was at and he stuck his hand in there, I was the helper and he was the one that was putting his hand in, they bit him. So we got some gloves and a box, and we carefully extracted these little clawing, biting, scratching, howling kittens out of the wall. They'd never seen humanity. I don't know if they'd ever seen the daylight before. We got them out in a box, carried them outside, and you're talking about something that wanted to get away from us, and we wanted to hold him. He was much more persistent than I was. And he finally got one of them that he could hold and pet and cuddle like you would think any little kitten wants to be cuddled. Well, here's the point that I want us to get from my little story this morning. God wants to hold you in his arms. He wants to love you. He wants to protect you. But if you continue to bite him and scratch him, there's never going to be a real relationship. There's nothing fuzzy about that. We have to get rid of that. We have to make some changes. We have to ask for the grace of God to come down in and really change us down inside. The world has a lot of fuzzy logic when it comes to spiritual things out there. It wants to offer us things that surely a loving God wouldn't let this happen. A loving God wouldn't allow you to suffer grief, wouldn't allow you to suffer affliction, wouldn't allow you to suffer disappointment, wouldn't allow you to get your feelings hurt or whatever it is that's on your bucket list. You know, there's nothing fuzzy about what God wants with mankind. He wants you to be a contented little kitten. He wants to hear you purring. I don't think we were successful. It seemed like one or two of the little kittens escaped and they were gone. I mean, there's no catching those things. They had pretty good energy, and I don't know if the mother found them or not, But it seemed like one of them we actually tamed, or my brother did. He's much more effective than I was. But it was a job. It was a journey. Lord, help us to realize that there is clarity in the Scripture. We must study to show ourselves approved. We can't allow our emotions. Well, surely God didn't mean that for me. Well, I don't know what does the Scripture say? If He says that if we are to be dead with Him, we'll be also alive with Him. Well, isn't that what it said? It's pretty clear. What does He want me to do? He wants me to have victory in my life over the things that was dragging me down into the pit of sin. He wants me to have victory. He's got enough grace for me to be victorious. And He wants me to rise above that. That's not fuzzy. That's not light gray or dark gray. Lord, help us to be clear in our understanding of what the Lord wants to do in our lives. I want to read this last verse here, and I'm going to stop. He says, but shun, verse 16, it's not the last verse of the chapter, but the last one I'm going to read. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. But shun, stay away from the fuzzy things that'll cause us to be confused in our soul. Lord, help us to put a guard on our mouth, put a guard on our ears, and be careful of the fuzzy things that'll cause us to lose out, because I don't want to lose out. He says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. You pray for me.